presented by Jags Mechanical, with your host Spencer Dillinger and co-host Gabe Rogers. And here they are.
All right. Well, today is going to be really exciting because we are talking about actually how to get started. How we got started, how, you know, what's the best way to get into the trades? Because that's a question that I get all the time. And usually it's actually not even a question. Usually I get statements like, I wish that I had went to trade school and got educated so I could be in the trades instead of, you know, working as a teller at the bank or whatever their current job is. I hear that a lot.
Oh, yeah, I get it. I remember in the field we get it all the time from different customers just asking, man, how do I get to work at a company where you guys work at or do what you guys do? I remember getting that question a lot. I mean, even still now today, even in some of the places that I go to at the gym and different places, people are like, man, I really like to come work for your company, but I'm going to have to go figure out what's trade school or what to go to. And I think it's a good subject to talk about.
Absolutely. And I think like going back, we've talked about before on the podcast that nobody talks about the trades in high schools, like barely anyone, like except no. For companies that are looking for people. So that made me think of a question. What made you first consider getting in the trades? Like what made you consider the trades as a career opportunity first? Was it family? Was it growing up in a household with, you know, your father started in the trade or had been in the trades your whole childhood? So,
I mean, if you go back to when I was like a child, I mean, I don't know any. All of my friends, their young sons have at least a Tonka truck at some point. So, so if you want to go back that far, it's probably more of, you know, you see people and friends, you know, they get to, oh, you get to drive a dump truck or you get to drive, you think it's so cool as a kid. And then as you get older, yeah, it's probably a little bit of family and things like that. But I remember a specific, I've talked about it, I'm pretty sure on here.
Yeah, you told the story about somebody came in and showed a P&L when they were talking about careers in high school.
And that's the day that, like, I was like, wait a second, you can actually make real live honest to goodness money doing that. I'll never forget that day. I believe it was eighth grade. I went to Delhi Middle School right here in Cincinnati. Anyone can look that up. And now,
after that day, did you ever consider going to trade school?
Well, it's kind of funny because I went, you can see the thing right over top of your head. No one else can see it, but it's the Independent Electrical Contractors Incorporated, which is the electrical apprenticeship school. And one of the things that took place that day that I had that conversation with the contractor that came in and did a talk about what your future looks like at the schools was, man, you'll work for a company and they'll send you to the school to get educated on electric. And so I was like, that's pretty cool. Like, they'll send you to a school. He was like, yeah, but the best thing for you to do is just go apply for a job at one of these contractors. And so he gave me a list of a few people that probably would hire me. And I was like, you know, I was in eighth grade, so I was probably 14, maybe 14 years old, 15 years old, somewhere in there. I was like, I'm too young. So I went and worked at a different, you know, just a typical restaurant like most teenage kids do. And I remember that being in the back of my head for a while. And then as soon as I got my license, I applied immediately for those to work at one of those contractors for a summer. And as soon as I applied for one of those contractors in the summer, they took me on and I worked there for the entire summer between, I believe, freshman year and sophomore year of high school.
So you knew up front that you were going to do an apprenticeship type.
But schooling. I didn't know, at that point, I didn't know if it was necessary or even if it mattered as much as, you know, now that I'm much further, you know, almost 20 years in the future here from that time, that what I know now. But I applied for them. I worked for them for the summer. Then I worked for another electric company that I stayed with for a while. And that's the company that between my, what is that, sophomore and junior year, they started me in the IEC program at night. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So just for, so you can define it maybe for our audience, what is the difference between trade school and an apprenticeship program?
Okay, so an apprenticeship program is when you are coming into a company and you're going to learn from a professional, air quotes. You're going to learn from someone in the company that's been doing it for a while, an experienced person that's been doing it and is successful at it. And you're going to ride with them until you get your enough information to be able to do some portions of the job on your own. Not obviously not all the jobs, because there are some things that do need some technical training, but you're going to learn how to do a good portion of the job to be productive. And then trade school is literally a place that teaches you. It's like going to school. Everyone knows what school is like. It's like going to school about your desired trade. Electric, you're going to learn about all the things of electric. I mean, my first year in electrical trade school was tool identification. I mean, a good probably 2 or 3 months was tool identification, which, you know, if you grow up at all with in a home that does any kind of trades, you're pretty good at identifying tools and you feel like it's a waste of time. But I've been around a lot of places and a lot of people that don't know tool identification. So it's a lot more of that. They're going to teach you in the electrical side, your Ohm's law, what it means. You're going to learn how to operate a code book, what the things inside of code books mean, how to actually, what things mean when you read about things, how to read a wiring diagram. They dive deep into a theory of what's going on, to where apprenticeship is more, you're going to get applicable things and you're going to actually do hands-on things with real-life situations while you're in the field working on real-life problems. So,
and seeing somebody handle those problems.
And, like, they're coming at you in real time, so there's no time to go find a book. You kind of have to, like, be able to move, you know, and be able to do things on your feet and learn how to problem solve.
If you could start over, would you still choose the trades and why?
Absolutely. I mean, everything I have today is, you know, because of trades. I've remodeled my own homes twice now.
One of the many benefits that people don't talk about enough.
Yeah, like I've remodeled my own homes. I don't spend hardly any money on other people working on things in my house ever. I mean, I get to see new problems daily, not just new people. I mean, that's one of the things that, at least in the service industry with what we do, you get to see a lot of new people, but I get to see a new problem daily. And I was with a technician this morning on a job. I get to go with people for their first time seeing a problem that I used to struggle hard with, and being able to watch them learn it, and you kind of guide them through it so that they're not just getting the things they actually get to learn, is a really cool benefit. And watching young men and women grow in this industry is really cool to see. I mean, obviously there were days 15 years ago where you're like, man, is this it? And we've talked about that in previous podcasts, but getting this, the benefits of what I have today, yeah, I would do this all over again. If I knew now what I know now, back then, yeah, I'd do the same thing again.
Now, what would you say to somebody maybe in their 20s or maybe even in high school that is considering their future? They're not sure about it.
Like if they don't know what they want to do, that's when you got to sit down and almost have like a separate conversation besides this one. But if they're interested in trades at all, the conversation that I know I've had several times with people, I just had one last week with a guy that's working for a pretty decent company. And he's like, man, I really want to get in the trades. I'm trying to find what trade school is the best to go to. And I was looking at him like, you do realize that if you go to any company that's worth their salt, they're going to pay for you to go to a school and get you educated. And so I tell a lot of people, because a lot of times I get the calls, they're trying to go to all these different technical institutions to go get educated, and then they're going to apply for a company. I'm like, I hate to tell you this, but you're going to waste your money, because, and I don't mean waste as in the education's bad. The education's not all that bad. It's the company will pay for you to go if you work for a company that's worth anything.
And so, if you're worth it, you know.
And so, instead of you taking on all that, they'll start training you and put you in an apprenticeship. Now, you might not go to that school for a year because they want to see, you know, how you handle it. And they're going to put you with a person who's experienced and be able to teach you. And they're going to see how you handle situations. So if that's the case, then there's, you know, I always tell them, apply everywhere. If you're interested and you think a company's worth it, apply there. Someone's going to hire you because of who you are. Because if you're a good person, they're going to want you there, and they'll be able to teach you the skills as you go on. I mean, that's I know we talk about it here at our company all the time, is we want to hire good people.
Yeah.
If we hire good people, teaching the skills is going to be the second part.
Okay. I'm going to cover some stats, and then we're going to come back, and I'm going to ask you a couple more questions. So, first, cost comparison. This is between trade schools and apprenticeship programs. As like you said, you know, a good company is going to invest in some form of education for you. The average cost of going to trade school is $33,000 for a 2-year program. So that's average. Okay. I know I've talked to people that have paid more than that. I've talked to people that have paid less. So I feel like that's a good number. Most apprenticeships, on the other hand, are free and pay you while you learn. You know, this says starting wages between $16 and $20 an hour, and increase with experience. And if you did come work at Jack's, it's going to be higher than that. You're not ever going to make $16 or $20 an hour. So, earnings. Apprentices typically earn $300,000 more over their lifetime than their peers who never enter a skilled trade. And you know, the good thing about apprenticeship programs is, once you're in one, you're technically started down the path. If you go to trade school, you still have to go out and get a job to be really started down that path. And to really find out if you like it. Like, I can't imagine not knowing what it was like and then going to trade school and still not knowing what it was like and being...
And spending $33,000. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm kind of cutting in on you here, but...
No, go ahead.
Like, our interview process, I always think of our interview process as, like, a way for someone to do a job. And one of the things we do in our interview process is, after you get through everything, we have you go ride along with a technician to see if you even like our guys and if you even like the job, because there's a possibility that what you think you're getting yourself into, once you go see it for the first time, you're like, oh no, what did I get myself into? And now you're already stuck into it. And that's what I tell people. Going back to, do I go to trade school or what do I do? Well, go work for a company. You don't even know if you're interested in that trade. There's so many different trades. You might enjoy being a carpenter more than you enjoy being an electrician or a plumber or HVAC, refrigeration, whatever it is. There's so many different aspects. Go get a job for one of them. You might enjoy a different trade then. So go learn.
And I think that, you know, highlights again what we've talked about on the podcast before, about, you know, over half of recent graduates from college aren't even in a job that uses their education or are underemployed. The other thing is, many skilled tradespeople earn $70,000 to $100,000 a year without degree debt. If you want to learn how to make even more than that, JagsMechanical.com. Go check it out.
Shout out.
Shameless plug. All right. 92% of registered apprentices are employed after completing their program. Apprenticeship graduates often have less job hopping due to recent job placement and employer loyalty. That is one really big thing, is if you're in a job that works at a desk right now, on a computer, your job is very fragile because of AI. If you're out there and you're using tools every day in the heat, on the rooftops, setting up ladders, you're pretty secure. AI is a long way from that.
AI is really good at task augmentation, is the word I keep hearing over the last couple of weeks, for the tool people.
Yeah.
It makes us do our job a little bit faster.
Which, you being that valuable, does cause your employer to value you more, even if it's subconscious. You know, I discovered this firsthand because I came to JAGS and I was a dispatcher at first. And, you know, I was working with the founder at that point. This was back when he was running everything, you know, and we were a lot smaller. But I remember the first day that I spent entirely in the field actually doing a job on my own. I came into the office and he was like, "Oh man, how are you? How was your day? You know, how's it going?" And he was just like so ecstatic and happy. And I was like, "What is going on? Why is he treating me differently?" And it was like, "Oh, I'm going out and I'm actually doing the hard thing." You know, before I'm sitting in here in the AC and, you know, my day wasn't that hard. You know, when somebody comes in from the field, you have no idea, you know, what they went through. You know, not that the days are that hard, but you're doing the thing that is valuable. You're doing the thing that makes the company money. And it's impossible not to treat those guys with respect, you know?
No. Yeah, exactly. They're doing a pretty cool job keeping things going.
Apprenticeships are 80% to 90% hands-on versus learning versus trade schools, which is often 50% plus classroom based. You'll learn real job site problem solving, not just theory. We talked about that a little bit already. Apprenticeships allow you to earn from day one, while trade school students may spend 1 to 2 years before they are working. By the time a trade school student finishes an apprenticeship, apprentice could already have earned $60,000 to $80,000 a year.
Sorry, going back to that last, they might be in school 1 to 2 years before working. It's kind of funny because you and I have both talked to several technical institutes. I won't mention any names, but they reach out to us that at the end, because they promise, you know, a lot of times that they'll have you a job by the end of your time. And so they reach out to every company and are like, "Hey, we have this person. They're really good in class." And then they send them over to us and like they do not make it through the interview process. They can't communicate. They don't show up. Something goofy happens and it's, you know, it's kind of a red flag that someone led them down a path that definitely doesn't fit them. And we wanted to see what in the world they can, you know, like I kind of feel bad for some of those people sometimes because they get into a they're into a bunch of money that they can't even.
The number of people that have come in for an interview from trade school and have not passed it's a lower percentage of those applicants that pass our interview process than the actual people that have no experience, and I really don't know what causes that. But it definitely is interesting, and I does make me feel bad, and I think there are a lot of schools that are good out there. There are a lot of
there's good education. Like
there's a lot of good education.
I feel like we've been bashing the education, but it's not.
It's not the education. It's the process.
It's the process of doing it, and it's. I think I mentioned it a couple times ago. A lot of the education places teach you what to think, and it's really good on that specific thing. But it doesn't teach you how to think.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad thing when it's that specific thing. If I'm working on a MacBook Pro, I want MacBook Pro information. I don't want Dell information. But if I know how to test motherboards, then I can work on all of them. And that's kind of how I'm thinking about that type of situation.
You know, it's...
And it's we employ people that have went to trade school first and then came here as well.
And they've been very successful.
Yeah.
I mean,
but we didn't hire them because of their trade school information or their education. We hired them because they were great people. and we still had to teach them the things that we do. So, I mean,
and if one of our trade school partners is listening to this, just know we're not talking about you. We're talking about the other trade schools. You know the ones I mean. All right. So, yeah. So if somebody was like, all right, I for sure want to be in the trades. I grew up, my dad worked in the trades, and I loved every minute that I got to help him, you know, working on projects around the house. How do I get started? Where do you start? Assume you're not with Jags Mechanical, because obviously you're going to.
Well, first place, if your family grew up in the trades, ask them, because I remember being a young man and you heard most people just happened into their jobs. They didn't actually plan their jobs, and those people usually didn't like their jobs, which is a very true statement.
Yeah, most people don't like their job.
So, like, if you want to get into the trades, there's great places to go. So, obviously, we're going to rep our brand. JagsMechanical.com is a fantastic place to go if you want to get into the trades. You can put in there, and we'll do our best to help you as, you know, as the system shows, or as you show up in the system. So, but really, the best thing to do is find a contractor, find a guy who's running a truck, or you happen to see one, and just ask them, how do I apply at your company? And then do research on it. Everyone has a website or a social media page at this point. And look at the things that they're doing. Does it look like a place that, does it look like people that you would want to be around? Because it really comes down to, companies that are good have a good culture.
Yeah.
And if there's a good culture, they're going to train you. They're going to take care of you. And they're going to lead you and guide you. I mean, one of our core values is constant, never-ending improvement.
Yeah.
Someone is going to take you and teach you how to do things and help you improve, especially if you have a hunger and desire to want to do those things. So
I also think if I moved away somewhere and I was going to try to get another job similar to what I have here at Jags, and I wanted to get in back into, you know, the field and being in a truck, I would apply for several companies and then in the interview ask them, you know, what would help me get this job, you know, resume wise, is there something you specifically want to see? And then I'd go get that, you know, because a lot of times they're going to tell you, well, we have an internal program, you know, if they're a good company.
Yeah.
And if you can find that, you know, that's the way to go, in my opinion. But
I agree with that. I mean, even the first company that I worked for, there was a family business as well, and I would still be working there today. I've said this several times to the people here, if it wasn't a family business. And yeah. So there was no way for me to grow up into the position that I'm in here at Jags. So it was a great company, and they helped me out a ton, and I've still talked to them. As a matter of fact, we use them sometimes. We partner on jobs because they're such a great company, and they do a lot for a lot of the young men and young women growing up in the trades. So that's what you're looking for, people that are going to develop people, no matter what it is. Even if you're listening to this and you're not in the trades at all, you want to go to a company, period, that's going to help develop you into the next level.
Absolutely. Yeah. Why don't you tell a little bit about the actual classroom? It's not always usually classroom, but the training that we do for guys after 1 year. A little bit about that, because I think that's more applicable, because one of the things I would be thinking listening to this podcast would be, well, how am I actually going to, like, learn more of the technical stuff and the information from books? How am I going to get to that next level? Because I get that I'm going to get a lot of experience. I'm going to get familiar with all the tools. I'm going to get familiar with the approach to troubleshooting. But how do I learn the more detailed? How do I get more technical? How do I get my certification? All those questions are going to be rolling through people's heads. So why don't you talk a little bit about that? You can talk about the journeyman's license and CEFESA, if you wouldn't.
Yeah. So CEFESA is the first one. It's the easy one. After you've worked for us for a year, we in that first year, we spend 6 months where you're fully in training, you ride with a technician, and we take time to teach you different subjects here and there throughout that 6 months. And then after the 6 months, we kind of feel out how you're doing, what your skill set is, and what things you excel at and what things you need help at. And then after your 1 year, we'll send you to a CEFESA class based on, you know, whatever classes are either available at CEFESA or which ones you specifically want. Refrigeration, gas, steam, electric, whatever it is. Also, in the meantime of those classes, there's several other ones, like I believe Heatcraft puts one on where we'll send guys out to if Heatcraft has availability. And then multiple supply houses will start doing education as well that's technical. But we really look for more of, like, we'll work with technical institutes. Over the last 3 years, we've sent several people to specific technical institutes that we try to vet out to make sure that they're teaching something that's applicable to what our company does. And within that first year, we send you to multiple classes to make sure that you're able to get your EPA license, your A2L certifications. I can't think of all of them right now. And so you stack up all of this information, and then we help you go through the apprenticeship program, and then we pay for what's the VR thing that we use all the time?
Interplay Learning.
Interplay Learning on VR. We have that available for all the technicians. They can use the company Oculus, or they can do it at home on their phone or their laptop or computer.
Yep.
So there's several trainings on there, and there's also like EPA and stuff like that on there too. I'm missing a couple.
Well,
things
we use, I think we use SkillCat now for some of that stuff.
Okay.
But that's another great resource.
So we try to, and then sometimes technicians will, they're on social media, on TikTok and YouTube and X and Reddit, and they get a lot of like, oh, this is a great training resource. And so they put it into our training information. We have a group text, and like it goes onto their Google Sheets, and then they have access, and we pay for it so that they can get educated as well. Because sometimes guys find stuff that we haven't found yet.
Yeah. And I think the mindset here at Jags Mechanical is that you're responsible for your education, which I think is really unique, because that's not us telling the techs that. That's how they act. That's how they believe. That's how they take action. And it's really gives you a lot of freedom, because if you believe somebody else is responsible for your education, then you're always going to be waiting, like, when are they going to send me to class?
It's
like,
yeah.
No, tell us when you're going to class. Like, yeah. Tell us what's next for you.
Yeah, and then we try to make as best, you know, best steps to get you educated as much as possible. After 2 years, they're eligible for their journeymans, and we have it's ProCheck is the website I think we use that we are signed up with, and it gives you a full class and teaches you everything you need to know to get prepared for the HVAC journeymans and the master's test, even if they want to take that. And we've had several technicians do that this year. Everyone had to get theirs renewed. All the new guys had to get theirs renewed, so I've talked to them several times this year to get their license renewed from last year. It's their first time renewing, and they were pretty excited about the process of getting their license renewed for the year and going to their continuing ed classes. But we also do a really cool thing too. I'll share the raffle thing that we do.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We wanted everyone to be involved in education. So one of our branch managers was like, man, it would be really cool if we could figure out a way to get everyone involved, like give away a cash prize if you go to a class. And I was like, yeah, but we want everyone to go to a class, not just one person. And so we came up with this really, I think it's a cool idea. And so far I've heard everyone else is pretty excited. So we give away $1,000, I think, per 6 months. And we do a raffle, and you get your name put in the raffle for every class you go to, but the raffle only takes place if everyone takes an additional class after hours.
100% participation.
As soon as we hit 100% participation, we'll do it at our company picnic next year, but for Christmas party this year, because it runs till October, and then we do the drawing, and then we would do our second drawing at the summer picnic or the summer get together.
Absolutely.
But it's education first, and the reason it's education first is because of constant, never-ending improvement. when we have a sit down, I know you guys have done a couple reviews over the last couple weeks with a few people, and that's one of our core values, and they're graded based on what are you doing to better yourself. It can't just be you said, oh, I know how to turn a screwdriver faster. What things have you educated yourself on, and what do you need help from us this next quarter or this next 6 months?
I really think it's about how much time are you committing to set aside to make yourself better, whether that's working out or reading or listening to a podcast, you know, whatever it is. But I did want to go back to something that we kind of just accidentally brushed up against, and that's that most people hate their jobs. And I think something really interesting about being in the trades, and this is kind of off topic, but it's kind of on topic, is that the technicians I meet, even the people that are unhappy, they're not usually unhappy with the job that they do. They're usually unhappy with the company they work for in the trades, when it's in the trades. But I know lots of people outside the trades that just hate what they do. They absolutely hate what they do. I don't know if that's been your experience, but that's been my experience. Even with when I talk to other companies and guys that work for other companies, I know one guy in particular I'm thinking of that is just like, he loves what he does, talks about how he loves what he does, but he's always like, man, this, you know, this company, this and that. And obviously, like, that's not great. But if you get with a good company and you already love what you're doing throughout the whole day, you know, it's a whole different aspect to being in the trades. It's not just better money and better easier way to get to retirement. It's actually a better, you know, for most people, if you're built for the trades, you're going to be happier in them, you know. And that's kind of what I'm
now that you say that, like a few faces went before my face. It came into my mind, a few people I know in restaurants that just hated working in restaurants.
Yeah.
And we're like, man, this job's terrible. And they didn't even work for a bad company. They probably worked for one of the best, in my opinion, best ran restaurant groups. And the way they handled their employees and took care of people, they just didn't like the job. And I have met several people in the trades who love their job that don't like their company. I mean, I had a conversation with one of those guys over the weekend that just quit his company.
Yeah.
Was like, I'm done. Like, I'm going to go try to find something else. I want to do the trades, but I'm going to do them somewhere different. So very interesting. Yeah, that's a very true statement. But I don't hear a lot of people from the trade say, I hate my job. If they're like old time carpenters or something like that, I have a few buddies, but they're still doing it. Like, they enjoy building. Like, I know a guy who's 70, mid 70s or older. It still goes and does some carpentry work. Now his walls aren't as straight as they used to be.
And usually those guys don't even hate it. They're just like, I'm getting too old for this. I'm getting too old to be up here on this ladder.
Yeah, he does. He still builds walls and things like that. So it's funny because he does definitely enjoy his job. But that is a true statement. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, really, really interesting. I want to wrap up here. If you're considering getting into the trades and you think it might be for you, you know, look into companies, look into apprenticeship programs. Obviously, we'd love it if you took a look at Jags Mechanical. And if you're one of those techs that loves what you do, but you don't like the company you are working for, maybe they're not showing up the same level you're showing up, you know, that's really discouraging to work for a company and you're showing up every day and giving it your all and the company's not doing that. They're not getting better every day. They're not, you know, having that loyalty we talked about. But just to sum up, you know, there's a different way to get in the trades than going into debt for trade school. And not that you won't eventually go to trade school, but hopefully you won't pay for it. So if you like this podcast, please follow us. We'd love to start getting our followers up and getting some online collaboration, getting some questions asked and topics you'd like to see addressed on our Facebook page. So we'd love to see that. And you know, until
the questions and the reviews too on the podcasting, because that'd be absolutely a cool subject. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. So, thanks for listening to the Smarter, Wealthier podcast this week. And until next time, keep building skills, building wealth, and building the life you actually want.
See you.